most admirable chasers you could possibly wish to see.
Hello and welcome to the Race Hour, the Punchestown Festival preview, sponsored by BetUK. It's our last one of the season. Love Punchestown. Joined today by Dermot Nolan, Gary Connolly and Darren Hughes. Dermo, as is custom, we will come to you. Punchestown, it kind of sneaks up on you and then it's great, isn't it? You're kind of in the middle of it all of a sudden.
Yeah, I absolutely love it for that reason as well, Cass. It's kind of the festival with no real pressure or anything else. You know, it's a bit of crack for the week. And it's just really good. And this year as well, now, I actually am kind of really hoping that that Jack Kennedy can hang on, but it does look a big task. I saw there Matt Toome shared that of the last 120 grade ones at the Punchestown Festival, William Mullins has won like 74 of them or something. So I'd say poor old Jack now is like, you know, those horror movies where there's, you know, Halloween when your man is walking slowly behind him and he seems to catch him. I think that's what Jack must feel like this week now, but hopefully
far,
Jack can
how far is he back, Dermo? Excuse my ignorance. It wouldn't be something that captures me now, what?
Jack is 7 ahead.
Seven. So if Jack at Townend will probably have 2 winners a day for 5 days. He could still. If
Townend could still do it, definitely.
Yeah.
Jack, Paul needs now one of those real, you know, mad Willie days now that he could do it. But
yeah.
This season, Willie has been having those days.
Yeah.
You know, so, absolutely love. Love the beach, proper racing, and the good ground could kind of lead to a few decent prices as well, Cass, because, you know, the form of the season could be up in the air a little bit.
Yeah, always is. And a lot of these horses went to entry, which isn't the norm either. Punchestown, normally they kind of do one or the other. So, listen, we'll crack into the race, and the plan is we're going to do 3 races Tuesday and Wednesday. We have the Dex, and then we are going to talk about fancies those days and the rest of the week. So straight in. Gary Connolly, Darren Hughes. Darren, we'll come to you first. This is a right cracker of a race. The 3:40 on the Tuesday, the KPMG Novice Hurdle. We see Slade Steele coming back from winning the Supreme Novices Hurdle. Firefox and Mystical Power having battled it out on at Aintree. It's a really, really good race, Darren, isn't it?
Excellent race, yeah. Absolutely excellent race. And to be honest, Slade Steele has a very strong claims at prices. I wouldn't put anyone off, I think. The horse that went to Aintree are probably going to be at a disadvantage. That's generally why modus operandi this week is to oppose those horses. Very, very difficult to back up here, especially when the two festivals are relatively close to each other in terms of their position at the calendar. But I'm still going to take a chance and fully hit it here at prices. As I said, I'm against the horses that went to Aintree. But if you watch the Supreme, Tully Hill never really had a minute's peace. The Ben Pauling horse, whose name escapes me at the moment, kind of was on him the whole way around. He never got a minute's peace, and I think it just kind of blew the brains a small little bit. But he was still in front to out, and he found a really can come up straight. Paul was very easy on him. You know, I was against him in a big way in the Supreme, but I actually thought he ran an awful lot better than his finishing position suggested. And I just thought at prices, especially again with the entry ones that are a bit shorter than him, maybe against them, he might be worth a chance of in around the 13-2, 7-1 mark if he can get it. So as I said, wouldn't put anyone off Slade Steele. He's immensely strong claims here, but I'm going to side narrowly with Tully at prices.
Yeah, you're getting the Mullins, well, not the Mullins first string really, obviously Mystical Power at the Mullins first string, but you're getting Town End up on a favourite on the Supreme at Punchestown at 7-1. Even just backing a blind might be a bad idea there. Gary Connolly, what did you take?
I'm going to go with the Mullins fourth string, Mythical Power. I think he'll turn the Supreme form against Slade Steele. I just think he was outstayed. Came there to win the race, jumped the last in front, and then I think the heavy ground. He just got outstayed by a proper stayer. Like this run at Aintree, he just doesn't do it a whole pile in front. I thought he was a lot better than the winning margin suggested there. I'd have them a lot closer from the bend, so I think Mystical Power for me, like Firefox is all the price as well. Like 8-1 is very high on him as well. So he's bound to be there. So any each way rats, that's your thing. Like, yeah, he's well worth an each way punt. He'll be hard to beat out of top 3, but Mystical Power for the win for me.
Yeah, Mystical Power. He looked the winner at Cheltenham All Ends up, and Slade Steele did all the same. And it was heavy, of course, that Tuesday. Dermot Nolan, we watched that race together. You wouldn't have said Slade Steele was a real speedster at 2 miles. He looked a stayer, and you'd wonder, good ground to Punchestown. Will he be done? 13-8 looks pretty short, I thought.
That's my question mark as well. There's no doubt that long term, I think he's the best prospect of these, but he's probably the kind of best prospect of these over 2 mile 4 chasing and beyond. I thought the ground for him is an issue. Mystical Power and Firefox. Like, I'm a massive fan of Firefox, but just going Aintree into Punchestown now as well would kind of make me question him and the rest of them. Kind of, it's hard. I do like Tully Hill from a win point of view, and then an each way point of view, I thought King of Kingsfield could be a big old price on the exchanges. He'll improve an awful lot for the ground. He ran a great race at the DRF as well, but he'll improve an awful lot for this ground and not being sighted in a big handicap like he was. That can happen at times to a young horse. I forgive that. So he'd be one at kind of big prices on the machine who I could back each way or to place even. But from a win point of view, I can forgive Tully Hill that one effort. I'm not his biggest fan at all. It was all against him at Cheltenham, but just at the odds of 7-1 or so, him for me now does look a very decent bet. I'd probably take that price now as well, because you could see that tumbling on the day as well.
Yes, you could. So all of our panel taking on Slade Steel. I would say, God, if Slade Steel does go and win around here, such a difference from Cheltenham. And he is looking a very, very promising horse. We all know about that form line with Ballyburn and how good is Ballyburn. Yeah, interesting race, really interesting race. Then we're on to the 5:25 and we have the Champion Chaser. Not the Champion Chaser a lot of people thought we would have this year. Captain Guinnesson, he won't even be favourite. D.W. the mare will be favourite. She had a hard race. Cheltenham coming back now onto better ground as well, over 2 miles. Very open looking race. D.W. is around the 2-1 mark. Captain Guinness 7-2. Banbridge 5s after disappointing at Cheltenham. Back on better ground. Gentleman to me ran a cracker. Cheltenham Townend writes him. He's about 6-1. Dermot, we'll stay with you. This is another good race, but typical Punchestown, very end of season stuff, and very hard to be dogmatic on Anthem.
Unbelievably so. I mean, Captain Guinness has never put two wins together ever in his career, and he's never won a Punchestown. He's very hard to fancy. Banbridge is definitely a retrieval mission. I understand why Joseph did run him. You had to run him really on the day then, just because it was being such a weird season ground wise. But him over 2 miles, he could come back and bite me, but I just can't get out of my head that day that he ran over 2 miles at the DRF behind El Fabiolo, and he was just woefully outpaced that day. You know, he flew home again for second, but he was taken off his feet that day. Gentleman to me is a very hard horse to actually get right, and he was a good distance behind Dino Blue. So I wouldn't put anyone off Dino Blue, but she did have a very tough race, I thought, at Cheltenham. She really tapped into the overburners late on. People were criticising Mark Walsh. I just don't think she's brilliant over that trip. I think she's particularly excellent over this. Willie Mullins confounds every single kind of usual thing where a horse does tend to bounce back from. But I'd kind of be looking there. I'm taking a swing, Cass, on a horse I've never backed before in my life, but St. Sam on good ground. He's a nutcase, absolute nutcase, but bouncing out from the front, he never puts two good runs together. It seems to always be a letter after a win, and he has had a letter last time, but he bounces out and he goes, and we've seen a Punchestown before. That can really pay off on good ground. And a horse like him, he's exceptionally talented. He's probably just below grade one level, but I do think the four ahead of him, I think there's enough chinks in their armour at this stage of the season that this race could well throw up something kind of left wing. He's got a great pilot on board, and Danny Mullins, who's just picking up all these second strings all season again. He's winning all over them. St. Sam has form on good ground as well, albeit in lesser company. But at these odds, again, you'll get bigger in the day, I would say. But I think St. Sam is just one in a race where I just smell a result coming up here, Cass.
Yeah, I could see where you're coming from. I don't know about St. Sam, though. I don't know, is he a two-miler, is the thing with him, you know, would he be done for tow? But yeah, I could see where you're coming from. Looks like kind of a boil-over kind of race. Could Dysart Dynamo even get his day in the sun if he got it out in a freebie in front? But it's a funny old race. Gary Connolly, what did you think? Hard to be too dogmatic, as I said to Dermo.
I think it's very simple. That's just Dino Blue wins, isn't she? Like, won here last year, handicap, formed to new levels this year. They just ran her in the wrong race, and the ground went against them. Just stayed out by a decent stayer in Limerick Lace. Like, the triple stretching out stamina anyway, and the ground just couldn't find that dropping trip here. Prove ideal. She's different gears to this lot. I think Captain Guinness, I can't have around here. Well, I'd be place laying him anyway. The pace will be decent. There's a good few front runners in here as well. So Banbridge is one to run on for a place anyway, but yeah, just think she's different gears to this lot. 2-1 is, yeah, like picking it up off the street, as they say. So, yeah, she wins.
Probably fair case made. And Willie's, you know, she had a fierce, hard race at Cheltenham, but of all of them, Willie tends to be able to get them right for Punchestown. Darren, are you in the Dino Blue camp as well?
I am. I'm not quite as dogmatic as Gary, but I agree with a lot of the points he made. You know, as regards to her run at Cheltenham, I think it was almost like they were concerned about the ground and the trip, and she was kind of ridden to get the trip. And in the end, she just couldn't pick up a stablemate who was all stamina. Obviously, look, she the stablemate obviously went and ran out of the National after, which would suggest they weren't worried about her from a stamina perspective. I think she'd be ridden a little bit handier here. Not a whole bit handier. Her running style is what it is. But I think she's more likely to be able to go and pick them up. I'd actually also allude to what you said, Stephen, there about Dicer Dynamo. This would be one of the weaker grade ones that he'd have contested. Obviously, his last run fell. He reposed some of these. But if he was to get a freebie out in front, which is kind of his only way of going, as Dermo says, it is that those tactics have proved fruitful in Punchestown in the past, particularly as the ground dries out. So I think I'm going to play Dino Blue at the price of the 2-1. And if Dicer Dynamo gets out to a big price in the exchanges, I might have a small saver win on me. But I do think Dino Blue has very strong claims here. I would just say for people listening, Henry de Bruyne's record at the Punchestown Festival is actually quite poor. It's a lot poorer than you think it is. I remember when I was on the trade more back in the day, we used to do statistics, in each trainer at the major festivals, and you'd actually be shocked how bad Henry Bronner's is. I don't have a result made at the moment, but he was well into the single digit strike break percentages. So just one to bear in mind for his throughout the course of the week, for whatever reason, they don't seem to stay going as long as the Punchestown fans.
Okay, very interesting. Okay, so kind of two votes for Dino Blue and one for St. Sam. That was Dermo. And Dermo, while we're talking about you, the last race we're going to talk about is your old favourites in here, the 3 mile, what we call the old RSA equivalent. 8 runners as well, nice each way shape to the race. And your boy, Monty Stars 9-4, are you going to stick with him?
Oh, God, of course. Yeah, no, I do think that was a monstrous effort at Cheltenham. Can see why somebody might take him on, considering how tough a race that might have been, but still, fact of file is an absolute monster. And I think Monty Starr is one of the only horses in the race to properly serve it up to him and try and win it. He only went down by 3 1/4 lengths or so. So whilst I really respect the likes of Splans Tower and Embassy Gardens and American Mike, etc., I think Monty Starr is a better horse than him. You've heard me all season go on, so I won't take too long here, Cass. But yeah, no, definitely I'll be trucking in behind him.
Yeah, a match of our two favourite novice chasers, Splans Tower, is a horse who we haven't talked about much on the pod because he hasn't been on the races at the right times. But God, I've been talking to the lads about him all year. I love him. I think he could be another Gold Cup horse for JP next year. Jimmy Mangan's obviously mad about him. I don't see him doing well for Jimmy Mangan. Darren,
he'll have the pink cap on in the Gold Cup, will he?
What?
He'll have the pink cap on in the Gold Cup.
I'd imagine that there'll be some starting out to do. They won't all be in the Gold Cup anyway, that's for sure. There'll be a couple of national horses coming out of that crew. Darren, what did you make of it?
I was actually surprised Embassy Gardens was as big a price as he is, I should say. Actually, I think his preferred trip, I'm not sure the 4 miler, 3 6 or whatever it was, exactly his cup to Cheltenham. And he jumped unusually badly. Like his first two starts, he looked like the embryonic chaser that I actually believe he is. He jumped particularly well. But for some reason, he never got into a rhythm at Cheltenham. I'm inclined to think maybe a professional on his back, again, pulled back is an advantage. And that's not necessarily a dig against Patrick. It's just, I think Paul got on particularly well with his first two starts. You know, obviously not backing up here from entry. He's had the break since Cheltenham. The winner confirmed the form to a point in Cheltenham for all that he beat Embassy Gardens particularly well. But it was only in the last furlong that he really pulled away from Embassy Gardens the last day. So I'm inclined to give Embassy Gardens a chance here. 4-1, 5-1 looks more than fair to me. I thought he'd be a little bit shorter. Respect for Spillane's Tower, but he did have a tough enough race the last day. And I don't think that form is as strong, maybe, as the grade of the race suggests. So Embassy Gardens for me in this.
You'll have to be doing a tricksy, Darren, on the Townend. It's rare we talk about Paul Townend at Punchestown, and 7-1, 5-1, and 5-1 has 3 mounts in these grade ones that we're discussing. So you'll have to do a tricksy or something there for the Townend mounts. And finally, Gary Connolly, what did you think of the William Hill? Oh, no, it's not the William Hill Chapter Chase, whatever, the novice one, sorry. The Dooley Insurance Group. Shout out to the Dooleys. Hopefully, the Offaly Dooleys.
Yeah, decent race. Like, I've got to just take a swing on one. I can't believe the price of Sharjah, 25s. The old boy, like, he won a Mickey Mouse race there when Willie was pot hunting. Sorry out the trip well. Shows what Willie Mullins knows, training a 3 miler for 2 mile races, but got down and out of jail over the last, I thought, like 11 years old. A couple of the younger ones probably fine to go, but 25 to 1 is just plain wrong price. He'll be ridden to pick up the pieces as well. So I'll be siding with old Sarja here. Sarja, anyway.
Sarja, a wild one for Gary. Okay, and that's kind of Tuesday wrapped for the lads. Gary, while I'm staying with you, have you anything else on the Tuesday? It's a good card.
Yeah, decent card now. Couple here that I like the look of. Casey West in this, the Perpetual Cup, just looks a class above. If he takes to this test, I can't see him be. Daddy Longleg is absolutely chucked in. That wins the 4:15. And the 305, I like the UK to get one here with Montregard, Half's brother to Protectora. Qualified for this at Wetherby, tried to take a couple of hurdles home with him. Amazing performance that he won after the round of jumping he done. But he has some engine here and really like him off a nice weight. So Montregard, the strike for the English for me.
Okay, and that's very good. It'd be nice to see a few English winners over the week. Be great to see it. Dermo, are you rowing in with Daddy Longlegs as well? Another of your favourites?
I am, yeah. No, I thought that that race at Ludlow was a real lovely pipe opener for him. He absolutely dossed around. I just think on good ground, Cass, as I've been saying all season, he's a much better horse than a mark of 135. I do think he's particularly thrown in here. I also actually have one for the forecast there in Call Me Lyreen, who's a perpetual handicapper, but he's very, very decent. Particularly, he's a much better horse on better ground. So he's gonna really improve now. And Carol Miller claiming £7 off him. He's a cracking young jockey. He's a really good clock in his head. And this horse, he's effectively down to a mark of 130. His last winning mark was 138. So he's definitely well handicapped. But I think that would be one for a forecast, because I don't see Daddy Longlegs beaten there. And then in the 450, the Land Rover Bumper. Back to our old friend Robert Tyner here. He's won this race in 2016 and 2017. Actually, both were put up in this podcast. And he's got Cobalt St. George's here. This horse has had two pipe openers over hurdles, which again, Robert Tyner does with his better bumper horses. He did this with Coeur de Lion, who won the first of those in 2016. He also did it one Christmas with Gourtine, who won a bumper at the Leopardstown Festival. He ran over hurdles and then went back over to a bumper. That's not a weird thing for him to do. He does this with all his better bumper horses. Robert Tyner, he's just brilliant in this race. Hasn't had many runners since those kind of winners. And his yard is starting to pick up again. He did retire, Robert Tyner did, but he's come back again. I'd say a bit of boredom there hit him. Brendan Keogh, he owned Coeur de Lion as well. So same jockeys, same owner. And Derek O'Connor is one hell of a jockey booking, because, again, he would have had a choice here between 10 or 12 of these, you'd have to think. So all screams that Robert Tyner has one lined up beautifully. Here, Cass.
Win only job, though, I'd say, Dermot. Oh, is yeah. It you don't want to be wasting double stakes on it. You know, he's probably going to open up 16s tonight. And you know, if you back him, and he could go off 100 to 1 on the exchange tomorrow, so it's kind of a win only.
100% win only, because you could bump into all of a sudden Gordon Elliott has won there. That's, you know, absolutely unbelievable. Same as Willie, you know. So like, it's not a race
course could be beaten 50 lengths. Just based on
100%, 100%. But look, all the right signs are showing. Pass, but we know fuck all really intro.
Yeah. Send us the WhatsApp when the price come out, Dermot. We'll keep an eye on 100%. Us. 100%. If we might get 33s or something if a certain Stoke-based bookmaker who was up before a certain Irish-based bookmaker. But of course, do all your betting with the great people at BetUK, sponsors of the Race Hour podcast. We're going to move on to Thursday. I think am I right there, lads? No one else is at on Tuesday, so we're going to move on to Wednesday, sorry. And we'll start with you, Darren Hughes. The 4:15 Dancing City, fresh from his success at Aintree, comes back again. It's a good little race again, but we've Stellar Story as well, having won at Cheltenham in the Albert Bartlett. Sort of a clash of champions here in the 3 mile novice hurdle division, and the slow horses of the future.
Slow horses of the future, but I hope the one I've fallen down on isn't too slow. I will just give a quick mention before I go into my own selection. for Bachmere Sack Meet, which is not a Gary Connolly request in the Hero Movie Clinic, but is a horse trained by Emma Mullins and owned by Paul Byrne. He's an interesting profile, similar enough to Fairnelly from last year, obviously though with less experience. I am not putting him up at the price, but it's just he's probably one to keep an eye on given what they did with Fairnelly last year. And it's very Emmett Mullins thing to do, look at a race that maybe he doesn't feel is the strongest in the division and take a chance at one, you know, before he puts him away for the summer. But I came down on Better Days Ahead. I don't think he is a whole pint to find with the front two. Obviously, I'm going to continue my team of being against horses who ran in Aintree. He's got £5 to find on ratings, and the front two in the market, their profile suggests they mightn't be trustworthy for various reasons. Stellar Story is somewhat inconsistent, and for all that, now he showed great attitude to pick up the Ben Bowling horse at Cheltenham. And as I said, I'm going to be against the entry horses. So then, potential selection is Better Days Ahead. He was available at a much bigger price than I thought he would be with that certain Stoke. It was Stoke based bookmaker at the moment. So yeah, Better Days Ahead, the Martin Pike winner for me.
Yeah, Better Days Ahead, 6-1 there now at the moment for Gordon Elliott, Jack Kennedy. Dermo, what did you fancy in this? It's a good little race.
It's a serious race. This race screams a bit of a boil over as well to me, Cass. You know, Dancing City's had a tough season. Stellar Story to me looked all stamina.
He's very grounded, but he's no chance.
Yeah, he's 3-mile 6er. Better Days Ahead to me as well. He looked like he really reveled in that ground, and when he got going, he looked tap for toe and then really kind of got home well, you know. That could suit him here, but still the ground would concern me. Lecky Watson, I don't
tip up Dermo. You're going to tip up High Class Hero, am I right?
Nope. Lecky Watson, don't really like him. I like High Class Hero. He has a form of the ground, but hard to forgive that last effort. It did look to me like something was wrong. I'm going to take a win only smash or go here on an outsider on Tubber, who I thought looked all stamina behind Fire and Glory. He blew up last time over 2 miles in a handicap, but I'd forgive that effort. That day, very few horses actually got home that day. But he's 25-1 here. They've always thought very highly of him. Like, there was a point where him and Slade Steel, they were on about splitting them. You know, they liked the two of them an awful lot. He definitely isn't as good as Slade Steel, but he's a better horse than a 25-1 outsider in this race. And that run behind Fire and Glory, he was tapped for toe and he stayed on really well over 2 miles. This trip does interest me. Darren's point of Henry de Bromet is true. Of those 120, of the last 120 grade ones, Henry's only won 4 of them. So like, it is a question mark here with him. But just at the odds of 25-1, I struggle to leave a horse that's kind of as talented as he is. He's had a mixed season. But if any horse has the potential to kind of trouble these, and there's enough question marks about every single horse ahead of him that he's an okay price there, Cass.
Okay, Dermot, going for one of the rags on Tubber. If he is to make into a grade one horse, you'd imagine it's over 3 miles, so that could be the making of him. And Gary Connolly, the 4:15 on the Wednesday.
I thought Lecky Watson was a fair enough price here. He's running the Albert Bar. Probably the way that race panned out, he wasn't best placed. And he had to do a lot of running to get into contention, turning in. And then he just sort of followed it up the hill late. Probably should have been toured, end up in fifth. If you look back at his form, there was a maiden there, probably the best maiden run this year in Navan. Slade Steel won it. Stella Story, Better Days Ahead. 2 Cheltenham winners were behind him, and he was second. And he's getting nearly 8-1 on him here. I think there is a decent race in this lad. His bumper form was really solid as well. And yeah, I think Lecky Watson at the prices for me.
Okay, for what it's worth, I think if Dancing City runs his race, he'll probably win. I think he's the best horse in the race. So you get 5-2, basically about the Mullins jolly running his race and winning. Okay, we move on to the 4:50, the Racing State Punchestown Champion Bumper. Patrick rides Jasmine DeVoe, of course, who won the Cheltenham Bumper, 13-8 favourite. Wildly has an absolute mountain of them in here. Sound Victorious was fourth in the Cheltenham Bumper. Yellow Clay comes in for Gordon Elliott at a big price. Gary, we'll stay with you. Did you fancy adding in the Bumper?
Yeah. I'd like William Money here. Probably not a lot of substance to his form, but he's impressed me with both wins today. Showed a great attitude first time up in Navan. And then he was just all class and sprinting away at Nice. Back in February, probably the race hasn't worked out as well as I thought, but yeah, a lot to like about that performance. Looking at the prices, he was 11-4. That's probably unbackable for me now, but he's gone out to 9-2 now. which is more like it. So I'd be very happy to get involved in the night of two. I did ask around as well that they were backing the life out of this yoke in absolute filth bets. The right people were trying to back them at 11-4 and get 9-2 on them now. So just, yeah, strong fancy for me in this one.
Yeah, Barry Connell has gone on the record of saying this fella is, in his opinion, he's the best bumper horse in the country, he said, after he won at Nace. And in fairness, he was very, very good that day. 9-2 does look a little big, given you could back him each way at that, probably. But it's a really good race. Romeo Culio's in here, of course, as well, for Gordon Elliott. As you could tell, I was absolutely winging it there. I had no clue what was running because when I see the text.
Did you really advise 9-2 as an each way bet at bumper?
I would
cast.
I absolutely, there's about six in here that are absolute deadwood, so he's only against six, so I'd like that. Yeah, do it in the shop though. Do it in the shop would be my recommendation. Why would you not? Would you not like that kind of a bet, Gary?
I don't consider myself a scumbag cast. I don't think I could bring myself to do it, to be honest with you now. But each to their own. Each you walk with men are different to me. Pretty kids have a bit of morals about us, you know. Youth culties are a different breed, tell you.
Okay, well, a culty who has no morals, Dermot Nolan, what did you like?
I thought Romeo Culio is very interesting. Keith Dunne said in our preview night that he really fancied him for the bumper on better ground. That ground went, but Keith Dunne rode him. And I thought Keith Dunne was kind of unlucky in the day that I think when he Jilan do the rebeating, he went all out to beat that horse. I think he thought he had a one once he did that. And then all of a sudden, Jasmine DeVoe kind of came over the top of him. I think with slightly altered tactics and a quicker ground, I think Romeo Culio is a quicker horse than Jasmine DeVoe. I've no idea about Willie Money, really, what he's done. Harbour Highway, he could be anything as well. Debut to four, I'd have this down between. But I think Romeo Culio, I just really liked that performance. I wouldn't get involved in bumpers really at all, but I was quite taken that day when I watched him. I just thought he was unlucky. He got gunned down after he kind of had won his race, if that makes sense. And he's here. He's got a very good young jockey in his back, obviously, in Young Swan. And at 7-2 or so, I really do kind of like those odds because I don't think there's a whole pile between him and Jasmine DeVoe. I think Jasmine DeVoe benefited from a kinder ride that day. So I think Romeo Culio, for me, would be one of my stronger bets of the week, Cass.
Okay, one of their most stronger bets. And Darren, finally, did you like adding to the bumper or a bit tricky? What did you think?
No, I didn't. I haven't gotten my teeth to see bumper horses all year, to be honest with you. I left the Cheltenham bumper go as well, and I just don't have an opinion here, to be honest with you. Cass, it's up with me. It's up to look for the sake of respect what the two lads have said. You know, I might take a chance on William Money, given that he skipped Cheltenham and is coming here fresh, but that's a token selection. I don't have a strong view at all.
Yeah, looks tricky, to be fair, but not to take from the highlight of the week, which is the 5:25 on the Wednesday, the Ladbrokes Punchestown Gold Cup, and we have the reigning Gold Cup winner, double Gold Cup winner, Galopin Deschamps. He'll be odds on. Faster Slow gets to go to him again. He won this race last year. Darren, we'll stay with you. This is an absolute belter of a race. Galopin Deschamps underperformed here last year, and he has danced every dance this season, hasn't he? You kind of have to take it on trust he's going to be at his best to win this on Wednesday.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm happy enough to leave him win at the prices, but he is exceptionally strong claims. It's hard not to back Faster Slow each way here, isn't it? Like, as in, it's one of them, you're talking about scumbag culties, but I just thought 3-1, I know you're not getting your full stake back, but given what's in behind him, I think you're pretty much playing almost for free on the win part if you back him each way at them prices. Carrick Rambler, if you can get him in a match bet against Hewitt, they're similar prices, and that's the type of match bet the bookies might put up closer to the off time. I thought he might be worth a play as well. I couldn't have Hewitt here, and I think Carrick Rambler's kind of been trained peak at this time of year. But as I said, kind of happy to watch Gallop and Deschamps win at the price, and I think I'll play Faster Slow each way, and thus the time he might trip out to step two, you wouldn't know something get behind.
Yeah, very good. And Dermo, what did you think of the goal come up?
Yeah, kind of similar. I kind of would have to take Galopin Deschamps on because he was kind of flat here last year. Faster Slow obviously didn't run any goals, sort of a Gold Cup race. So he definitely would be the one here, Cass. I'd be backing him to win only, to be honest, which I wouldn't be going for the each way angle at all. I think he's more than good enough here. The likes of Uwick, he's also interesting. He'd need it to really, you know, have to go a million up front, as Johnny the name would say, but the rags. Like, I was really trying to find an outsider here that I could possibly, you know, get stuck into and see if it was a China Rock style year or something. But there wasn't really one of the outsiders that I kind of liked. Like, I like a Journey With Me, but he's not up to the front few. So Fast or Slow has everything in his favor, and I hope JJ Slevin can kind of right the mini Rongo a few weeks ago.
Okay, and finally, Gary.
Yeah, I'll run by with Dermo here. Fast or Slow for me. Very soft on seat at Cheltenham. So he'll come here fresher than most. Galloping.
Are you going to back him each way, Gary?
I couldn't live with myself, Cass. I couldn't live with myself. Even though it's probably the Matt's boys will tell you it's the ultimate bad each way race.
Yeah, but, you get 80% of your stake back. Nothing wrong with that if you finish a second. It's better than losing 100% of it.
Like, if there's one track, probably a one race to take Galloping on, it's probably this. Like, he's better going the other way around, isn't he? But he is clear enough of Fast or Slow. But if he is to get beat, it's probably going to be here, and Fast or Slow is probably the horse to do it. So, yeah, win only, small win only bet, but not one to get mad. Just, yeah, watch a brief or a small bet, Fast or Slow.
Okay. So for all it's normally a cracking race. It's not the most exciting betting race this year with Galloping sort of question marks around him. A lot of people probably think that 8-11 is a good price. If he shows up and performs, he'd probably win, but I'd probably leave him alone as well. Gary, the rest of the day, you always have a couple.
Just the one that I think might be a bit of value in the lucky last, Familiar Dreams. She's actually gone to the sales ring on the following day. Ernie McCann horse, she's won 3 on the bounce. Just very impressed with her runs, very uncomplicated, goes to the front, finds for pressure, stays on. Like, the fact she's trained by Annie McCann and not WP Mullins means she'll probably be a price. Just hard to knock her this year, I think, and wish her all the best and hope they make a few bob in the sales as well. So I think she could be a bit value on to get the punters out of the last.
Okay, there's a local Dungarvan horse, Declan Greeley trains Mozzie's sister in that, and she won a point-to-point Dungarvan and then went and won on really heavy ground at Cork. And they've actually been waiting for better ground for her, thinking that she'd be better for that. She was going to run in the mare's race at Punchestown, or sorry, at Aintree, but they decided to go here instead. So I'd say she's quite a useful tool, Mozzie's sister. So she's one to watch. Declan Greeley rides himself, fresh from his big success with the punt landed at Limerick and Ballinrobe there last week. More luck to him. Darren, you had one on Wednesday as well.
I do, yeah. It's a little bit out of left field, Cass. It's not the strongest selection. I'm obviously waiting on prices here, but in the 6 o'clock in the handicap chase, I was interested in Judge Bois. He's trained by Ryan Potter. He's an English horse. It's only his third run of the season, I think. Sorry, fourth run, it will be, of the season, and he's Ryan Potter's first ever runner in Ireland. I tend to like English handicap chasers. I think they've got the record against Irish handicap chasers certainly stands up on both sides of the Irish Sea, certainly in comparison to handicap hurdlers. Dylan Johnson takes an excellent £5 off. I think the horse is well treated off 1-4-5. He was obviously pulled up in Newbury the last day, and I'm just wondering, has he had an undeclared wind up? Obviously, him now running in Ireland, you don't have to declare wind ups here, and I'm just wondering, have they tinkered with his wind since Newbury? Because the way he ran that day, it looked like they might have needed him to do so. He's likely to be a big price here. My stake obviously be dependent on what price he's put in at, but he has a preference for nice ground. His record this time of year is also pretty strong. And just when I was going down through the race, I kind of was looking for an English horse that I might side with anyway. And the profile of this one was of interest, and that suspension might be a big enough price. So that's just what, 6 o'clock tomorrow in Butcher, or Wednesday in Butcher.
I watch your man, Dylan Johnson. You're normally clued into all these English jocks. What's he like?
I think he's very handy. He's very handy. No, I think he might have, we won't go into his troubles, but he's very handy. He rides a good bit for Wild Creatures, I think, as well. Okay. He's as good a £5 famer as you'd probably get out of England at the moment, Penny.
Okay. The old Roan winner. I remember he won the old Roan, kind of an upset that day, Chatoile, for Darren. Okay, we're going to go and talk about the rest of the week. Dermo, you've been quiet for a little while. So the rest of the week, is there anything you like?
Yeah. There is. Percival Le Gall was in the novice handicap chase on Friday. He interests me because he was their main one for the Kim Weir until they realized that I know the way your thinking's in there. He was coming to win at the DRF, or at least run Hartwood close. Hartwood won easy enough that you couldn't say that last statement, but he was going to run an absolute blinder when he went down under Conor Stone Walsh. He's definitely well handicapped. If he can bounce back from that fall, there's enough time between them, but he is terrifically well handicapped. Gold Dancer looks, he looked a winner in waiting in the Grade 2 at Fairy House last time. Really ran very well. Got hampered two out and just completely lost his chance behind Captain Cody, but he's a winner in waiting off 130, 100%. The other one then is another weird one for me in the Touche Cup. Cocoa Beach is going to be all the rage because he was a hipster fancy for the cross country at Cheltenham. But I thought Birchdale was excellent in the Risk of Thunder, and the Bulger is absolutely brilliant, obviously, at these races. And Birchdale, beautiful jumper who could well end up being a decent price. And then one more that I'm pleading, I hope to God that they run Tell Me Something Girl against Tiopu in the Stayers Hurdle as opposed to taking on Lossie Mount again, which is just pointless in my opinion because Lossie Mount's obviously just going to dance all over her again. She's already has a serious page. I think Tiopu is slightly vulnerable on this ground again over 3 miles. He's the best horse there, but it's properly decent ground now. And Tell Me Something Girl, I'd love to see her tried at that trip. I thought she just completely stayed at Cheltenham. And she's 25-1 or so for the Stayer. So I would love to see her there. But she's only 7-1 for the Mare. So I imagine that is where they'll run her. But I would like to see her in that race. But of the others, Gold Dancer is the one, Cass. When I watched back a few races at Fairy House, he just looks a winner in waiting. And of 130, he's multi-entered, but he's very interesting.
Very good. And our host Emeritus, Dean Ryan, will be glad to hear Birchdale get a mention, one of his old favourites. Gary, we'll go to you next for your roundup for the rest of the week. What else do you fancy?
Yeah, I'd be with Dermo. I'd be all over Gold Dancer if he shows up in one of the handicaps. Multi-entered, he's in a couple of the grade races, but handicap off 130, he's chucked in there, and he'll win wherever he goes off that sort of mark. He was held up early in the year, so they're probably playing a bit of catch up with him. And as Dermo said, yeah, running a good race at Fairy House when badly hampered. So he wins wherever he rocks up handicap wise. Bottle of Secret, I think he'll win the 4-year-old hurdle on Saturday. Really like him. Friendless in the market last time at Fairy House and won as he liked. Just, yeah, very solid horse. I think he wins. Spindleberry, if she goes in the Mare's Novice Hurdle on the Thursday. Second behind Jade DeGruity, probably just outstayed by her. Travel like the best horse in the race, and she drops and trips, so I think she'll win. And then finally, yeah, I'd be taking on Tiupo in the Stayers, Irish Point. If he goes there, I think he'll run all over him. So they'd be the ones I'd be keeping an eye on this week.
Oh yeah, Irish Point. He'll light the ground in the trip. And finally, Darren, what do you fancy for the rest of the week?
Yeah, the rest of the week, I'm with Gary on Irish Point, definitely. I've nothing against Tiapu, and I think he's actually a more trustworthy individual than he has been in the past, but I was all over Irish Point for the Stairs before he was rerouted to the Champion Hurdle, let's say, so I've certainly got to side of here. I don't think the ground will be in Tiapu's favour either, though. Again, he looks a more tractable individual than he previously was in the past. And then I also think Sergino is of huge interest, obviously, if he travels over exactly. He's 9-4 there at the moment. He'd be a fitting winner for Connections given the tragic news of a Shishkin race last night. So he's one to keep in mind, Sergino. I'm not sure about his plans, lads. Have any of you heard of him? Is he just travel over on Saturday, or is he just entered for the sake of entering?
I haven't heard anything. You're the man with the finger on the pulse. I'm hosting, so I did zero work for this. It's an easy gig to hosting.
I rang Nicky Henderson yesterday, and all he said to me was, "How the fuck did you get my number?"
is that all yours, Darren? Is that you done for the week?
That's me done for the week. Yeah, that's all.
Okay, I'm going to give one horse a shout. Typical Thomas in the 4:15 listed handicap chase on the Thursday. So he was running a really, really good race in the race that Madara won. He was kind of leading jump in the second last, still almost leading jump in the last. Got a bit tired then because he'd been from the front. I think he has a big handicap in him, and he's going to be any price you like. I said Punchestown on a bit of better ground after the DRF. I'm delighted they've waited this long with him. He'll be 20-1 plus. He sort of pecked at the last at Leopardstown. Behind Madara that day, and he's just going to go from the front featherweight. He's got 10-3, dropped a pound for the last day, and I think he's got a big handicap in him, and he will be a massive price, so he'd be my one. Quickly do the naps, lads. Dermo, you go first. What's your nap for the week of Punchestown?
I'm always terrible at this section. Daddy Longlegs in that handicap.
You have to go for the Tyner horse, Dermo.
I know, just because it's I've no idea the actual depth of that race, to be honest. I got word through on that one, but I haven't done any sort of a reading at all on that. Not that I could anyway, sure.
Well, your biggest bet of the week is going to be on that Tyner horse, so I'll bet that. So I'm going to change your nap there to the Tyner horse for you.
Okay, no problem. I wait to easy going with you, you bollocks, but yeah, go on. Yeah.
Gary Connolly, your nap of the week.
Yeah, I'll go with Dermo's one as well. Daddy Longlegs, that wins. And then when that wins, throw all the money on Gold Dancer in the handicap. That goes for, and job done.
Very good. Daddy Longlegs 4-1 there now at the moment, which isn't too bad a price. The sixth place is out there, I see.
Yeah, yes. go off short in fours anyway.
I would have thought 5-2, job. Yeah, yeah.
Darren, each way bet, Gary. The each way bet.
Mike, I need to way bet now that. Darren, what about you? Your nap for the week?
Nap for the week is Embassy Gardens at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. It was a narrow one between himself and Better Days Ahead on the Wednesday, but I really think he's going to come out with a much better performance than he did at Cheltenham if he gets his jumping back on track. So Embassy Gardens for me.
Very good.
A quick I'm going to swap the host now for a second, right? So first of all, Cass, what's your nap of the week?
I go for Typical Thomas. I've been waiting for him, so just because he'd be an unusual one.
So I'll say him in the
listed handicap chase on the Thursday.
And then what do our listeners want to be back in there for the Eurovision as well, Lucas? So look, just have your minutes. Well, Switzerland, first of all, are they good favourite in your mind?
I think they're the right favourite. I don't know how well they'll do with the televote. So as the listeners will know, it's 50-50 jury televote. They will do well with juries, but I'm not sure how well they'll do with the televote. It's a little bit inaccessible, the song. He's rehearsing now, probably as we speak, actually. So I'll have a better view this evening, you could ask me. But this is the ultimate 30-2A market because you're getting four places. Ostensibly, there's 36 runners, but really, there's only 7 or 8. And you're getting four places. And to be honest, I think there's only really 6 that could win it. And you're getting 4 places. So I'm kind of backing 2 of them and have backed 2 of them. Italy are 6-1. They'll do well on both sides of the scoreboard, juries and televote. I think they will be in the 4. So I'm back in Italy at 6s. I think they could win the jury vote, and Italy always do well with televote. It's very contemporary. And the other one, Ukraine, got like 180 televote points last year with a terrible song. They have a really good song this year. Staging looks really good in rehearsals. They'll come in with kind of 220 televote points straight from the bat. They only need 100 jury points to get in the places then, which they'll get. So I think they're guaranteed to be in the 5, hopefully the 4. They're about 9-1. So back in both Ukraine and Italy, 6-1, 9-1. Haven't decided which one I'll be too big on.
They're 9 with it, you know. We bet UK. I'll follow you on them. Now, curiously, 9th in the betting is Ireland, so they're not completely out of it.
Definitely not. The rehearsal looked amazing. And all of semi-final one now, we've seen the small clips and the pictures, and Ireland was the biggest winner of all of them in terms of progression from national final to the stage show. Looks unbelievable, the stage, and they look like they're doing a great job of it. Bambi Tug, hopefully they'll perform well. Vocally, they can be good, so... The thing with Ireland is, I think a lot of the votes are going to come from the televote. The semi-final is 100% televote. They will get through. Ireland will qualify for the final this year, which is great. Even though they have a bad draw in the semi-final next Tuesday, but I think Ireland are going to be in the final, and that in itself is a result. If you want to back Ireland, don't back them at the 40s or 50s each way at the outright, because I don't think they're going to get enough jury points to get into the top 4. But you could back them at 3-1 to get a top 10 finish, which I think it maybe is a touch over. So I think I would be laying it, but to be honest, I think kind of the spread is 8th to 15th is where Ireland will finish in the grand final, and 100% will take that. Good progress.
And finally, our UK friends, Cass.
Yeah, absolutely no chance. Ollie Alexander, who people will know from years and years, and he was the main actor in, trying to think of the name of the TV show about LGBT and AIDS, what was the name of it? Doesn't matter anyway, but he's really famous, but the song is absolute muck. The chorus doesn't go anywhere. Very poor effort. We'll get a few televotes because he's well known. That'll keep them off kind of last place, but I'd imagine UK will be, you know, 15th to 25th kind of a finish.
Okay, grand. Right, so Cass, yeah, that's perfect. Cass, one final one. If there was one mental price that could sneak into a place, Is there one?
Yeah, there's one. Belgium, I think, I backed him at 100s the other day. I think the 100s might be gone. There might be 66, 80s. Really good song. If he sorts out the stage show, which I'm a bit worried about, they could easily play. So if you want to have a wild swing, I think Belgium at 100s, but I'd rather see the rehearsals and back him at 50s and 40s, you know, that kind of way. One that I'm watching out for as well, if they qualify, I think they could come top 10. You might get 33-1 on this now, top 10, is Azerbaijan. Bit of a sleeper. They had a terrible music video, but the stage show looked great yesterday, and it's a brilliant song. It's a little inaccessible because it's a bit of a vibe, it's a bit, you know, low tempo, but if you want to have a bit of a wild one, Azerbaijan, 33's top 10, that's probably what I do.
Absolutely perfect. I will switch back now, Cass. You can have your chair back again.
Well, I think I'm wrapping up. You know, we're kind of finished now. We're finished for the season, Dermot. So we'll say goodbye and thank you. I will anyway. Check out. And thanks to Gary Connolly and thanks to Darren Hughes. Thanks very much to Cameron, our producer, for today's show. But Dermot, do you want to do the wrap up and the end of season thank yous? We better give old Dino a mention anyway.
Yeah, and of course, big thanks to Dean as always. He dropped out. He'll be back in next season, absolutely no doubt at all. But passively deputised brilliantly by Darren Hughes. And yourself, Cass. A lot of people have been messaging me to say that there hasn't been a beat missed. So all good. That was my mother as well who said that. So
we all know it. My biggest fan anyway.
I think a few of our mothers listened. But yeah, look, all the lads, Gary and everyone else, Paddy, Tanya, Don, Keen, all the guys, Leslie, you've been absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much. All of our listeners, really appreciate it. Our preview night again as well was absolutely huge. And thanks very much to everyone for getting behind it. And our sponsors, BetUK, really appreciate the support all season as well. Particularly though, our unsung hero is Cameron Bremner, who puts up with a lot of nonsense from us and an awful lot of editing here or there. So a big thanks to him, but particularly you two lads. Darren and Cass, he stepped in when they batted an EDG, so thanks very much.
Yeah, good man, Dermot. You're our lordship, and long may you reign. So that's it. Good luck this week at Punchestown, everyone. Hope your betting goes well for the week and you enjoy it. Relentless, remorseless.